You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson, home of the biggest selection of Harley-Davidsons in the Midwest. I-29 south of the airport or shop online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Auburn basketball. Wendell Green up the floor. Left the floor with an injured right knee. Is back out there for Auburn right now. Gets a screen from Kessler. Left side, Jabari Smith. 18-footer Jabari. Swish! Auburn by three. 15 to shoot for Auburn. Tigers lead by one. Wendell between the legs. Lobs it for Kessler on the alley-oop dunk.
Tired legs there. Kessler got a step, got the defender on his hip, and there was nothing they could do about it.
Adey Johnson quickly up the floor at the left wing for Auburn. Crossover dribble down to the baseline. Gets cut off. Spins into the lane. Goes up for the shot. It's good and a foul and a play!
And now, a man who found the joke that I told him off the air really funny, Saran Petro.
Right you are, Jed. Right you are. Petro in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here on a brisk but warming Wednesday. Always good to hear lots of Chiefs sound. Saran Petro with you, Jed Marshall running the operation. K-Dog still down. Todd Lebo. It joins us in studio. I'll play the feud with Todd Lebo coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. So make plans for that. We'll get some Lebo sounds in the 4 o'clock hour. The Godfather of Kansas City sports, Frank Bohl, will be with us. Get you the things you need to know and talk to Seth Kaiser in the 5 o'clock hour. So a lot of Chiefs, Lebs, a lot of Chiefs.
Why?
We're going to run at you.
I don't understand.
Big game. Big game. Do you enjoy, like, what do you think? How would you describe the quantity of folks we have? Let's act like this is what we always do around here, or the NFL has told us this is how it's going to be?
Yeah, we got some more guys, but it actually got done about the same time. You know, running them through. It's fine. Hey, listen, I know
because they were ready to go.
They were. It's like, let's do this. Now, the test is tomorrow.
No one was lost today, which was nice.
Yeah, the test is tomorrow. Thursday is the day that it seems to be hard to get the thing going on time. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. This is different. I mean, obviously, we joke a little bit. This is kind of inside radio or sports, whatever.
You can do a little bit of that. You don't want to spend all day on it. But people,
you know
the
they're
tribe.
They
dance around.
We give the Chiefs PR staff some trouble sometimes. They have had to go through this a few different ways. The pandemic, this is like a different pandemic as last year's pandemic. Like, you know, it's kind of a different thing.
Is it diet? Would you call it a diet pandemic?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. A little diet pandemic.
Okay.
You know, because it's little halves.
Pandemic light.
For a while, it was like, you know, really
new
diet.
But not improved.
Now,
new
and
but
now
slightly improved.
It's closer to last year now because we haven't been in person in front of I haven't breathed
since
the
December.
Same air since before Christmas. With anyone who was a Chiefs player or coach. It was before the Steelers game that the Chiefs went virtual, and not everyone was virtual. I mean, the Steelers had their game here at Arrowhead last week. They had in-person media after the game. So, you know.
I'm not going to go. It's literally for what we're doing, it's no different. It's the same podium in the same place. So, I'm not,
right.
We can move forward. But. Listen, it's good stuff. I think the fans like to hear it.
I think the fans
want to hear from the players and want to hear what's going on. And so I love this time of year because I think the fans get to hear and get a feel for who these guys are, you know?
And did you – you were looking at the pictures on the Zoom, right? So
yeah.
Were James Palmer
– I do gallery view.
Jeremy Fowler works for ESPN now, right?
Uh-huh.
They look like they were in the same car in the parking lot. Because, like, one of them was on one side of the car and one was on the other. I mean, they're obviously – I mean, it's NFL Network and ESPN. It looked like one was in the driver's seat and the other one – I was like, are they in the same car? Because they're both just standing out of the parking lot looking like they're getting something, you know?
I did not connect those dots. But Palmer was – let's see if my view – if I'm remembering it the way you did. Fowler would have been the driver and Palmer
right.
the passenger,
That's
right?
correct.
Yeah, I did notice that.
I think they were in the same car. Because they're like, dude, I'm not standing outside. I got to do a dumb live shot out here in the cold, even though I don't have any real access to anyone that's any different than anything else. But it's perception. I get it. I used to work in television. I understand what it's about. But I was
we're here. We're on site in case the news breaks.
I think
we'll fix it.
They were in the same car, I think. Now, listen, many of us were in the same building. That's one thing. But I think they were in the same car sitting about 100 yards away from the people talking, I think.
It is odd times. We're going to one day look back, hopefully very soon, and laugh about how this all works. So, yeah, good times.
It's different. Now, the Chiefs are a game away from going to the Super Bowl again. And right. I was telling someone, it might have been Jordan, you know, our new kid here, who was, he was underage when the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. But
How old is this kid?
He's 23 now. He wasn't underage. He's probably about underage. But, like, I just remember
I'm impressed he texted me. I thought, wow, that's a big step.
He's grown up.
I'm impressed.
But, like, just it was less than 2 years ago that we spent all those days down in Miami, you know, doing all that stuff. And last year,
where it was all just joy and fun every second.
All it was smiles, rainbows and unicorns, the whole thing. It was awesome.
I think Lebo almost punched me, by the way, that week in Miami.
We had a good time. It was all good. But, like, and then last year, Jason and Corey went to Tampa, and it was ghost town, right? Because there are only a few people. And this year, it's going to be, we got plans. I mean, win or lose, we got people going to the Super Bowl, right? It's going to happen. And it's going to be a little bit more like, but it's not going to, I'm not sure, maybe next year or the year after, it'll ever be like it was in Miami with all of that stuff. You know, it was just a couple of years ago.
I think it will be next year.
Probably.
Frank Bull told me he read an article back to normal in the spring. Yeah, he said in the spring of 22. Because he asked me, when are we supposed to be back to normal? I said, I don't know, spring of 23. He said, no, spring of 22. So we're almost there, Todd.
Yeah, it's there. It's, you know, it's there.
You know. Then again, you know, if you go to the other channel, then I think it'll probably tell you, you know, it's 2070. You know, isn't that how
who
it
knows?
Works? I don't know.
But, you know, the weird part is, like, will people have not gone to the Super Bowl for a couple of years and say, well, we just don't really need to go? You know what I mean? Like what Radio Row once was?
I'd be real worried about that if I were the NFL, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be worried about that. Like, hey, we found out we can save a lot of money not
yeah,
doing this.
Exactly.
Now, what are the odds we won't go?
Well, I'm not sure we'll ever go like we went 2 years ago. Like, you know,
you think?
Crazy. Well, you know, the part of it for us is time zone, too. Like, we're not sending Steven to Los Angeles to wake up at 2 in the morning.
You don't think a 4888A is a prime spot down on Radio Row?
Just all the people rolling through, you know.
ones of people.
Yeah, ones of them. And after a while, people, you know, because I'm kind of good not going out. You know, I've been there, done that. I don't need to go again. So you will always have someone new and go, this sounds really exciting. And I go, yeah, you want to go to the Super Bowl? Go.
You know who wants to go to the Super Bowl? Jordan.
Well, he's getting his wish, so.
Yeah, I know.
Go and get it.
You can have at it.
Enjoy it. Enjoy
it. That's the thing. Like, Lebo and I, we do all the work at the Super Bowl, and then the game rolls around, and you're just toast. You're toast, and you don't get to go. So it's like, oh, but you're in Miami, or you're in.
I've told people so many times, I will never, ever go to Miami again for anything in my life unless it's a layover to get somewhere different. I have no interest in ever going back to that city.
Really?
Yeah, I really don't. I don't need it.
Why? What was so bad?
Well, the traffic for me. See, you had it better. You guys were staying on Miami Beach in the Airbnb that you found.
I booked where I stayed.
Yeah. I was involved with the National Football League where I stayed. And the National Football League put us west of the airport. So it was great.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I don't need to go back there. I had enough. I saw that road, whatever the hell it was called, enough times at either 6 in the morning or midnight. Either way, I don't need to go back. There's plenty of places in the world that I will choose to go besides there.
I think because you can't book travel, there's no reason to hold a grudge against the city.
Well, I was trusting the National Football League. Big mistake.
We were on the, like, I don't know, like the 18th floor, looking at the inlet where the
cruise
ships
come
in.
Now, you couldn't have done that on Saturday and Sunday when I was there because it cost $10,000 a night where you were. You were good to get out of town. On Friday, it was good.
Yeah. Well, I was gone on Friday, so, you know, it didn't matter.
Did you remember, did you take the table skirt with you or not? I can't remember.
Did I forget that? Was that one of the things I was supposed to do?
That's one of the reasons I hate Miami, because we had to go back to freaking Miami Beach. We shouldn't be talking about this. We have the AFC Championship game coming up.
We do have the AFC Championship game.
And it's going
to
be great,
I will say this to everybody, and it was a fun week at night, right? It's fun doing the work. It just, there is a lot of hassle and headaches and hustle and bustle. But if your team is in the Super Bowl, don't miss it. That's what I would tell
take
you.
A chance.
If you're thinking about going, I think you should go. Right? It's a great experience, even if you don't have tickets for the game. Just being in the town and in the environment is a fantastic thing. You will absolutely love it. And take the time off from work, get there. You know, if you can afford it, right? Get there and go do it. It's a phenomenal thing.
It's awesome,
and
here's
an incredible experience.
It seems like if you're a Chiefs fan, you may not have to be a once in a lifetime thing. Maybe, you know, could happen more than once in the next whatever. Because it's already happened twice, you know.
We're back to back.
Yeah, you just keep going.
Seven-point favorite to make it three in a row.
I mean, come on, man.
Which like, do we, you know, I opened on Monday to, like, enjoy the ride, like, savor this, take this all in. You know, don't take it for granted, and don't be pissing and moaning about, you know, well, this play call wasn't that good. Like, enjoy the ride. It's okay to be critical. Like, I want to break down the game and say, you know, Blake Bell's got to read the defensive end better and, you know, to make that play successful.
Someone has to guard number 13 at some point.
Yes. Yeah, at some point. Maybe check that
I know
guy.
He wasn't big on the scouting report, but, yeah, you know, when he's got 180, you know, maybe put a body on him.
Yeah.
Keep him under 200.
Guy, you know, do we want to set records, not have them set on us? First wide receiver ever to catch four touchdowns in a playoff game. There it is.
And with a loss, you know, as well. So, you know, the next guy will probably have a win. And so this guy will always have that asterisk.
Probably. Although sometimes you're just chucking it because you're chasing, you know. But,
exactly.
But are we aware of, like, the historical moment? Like, I've tried to point some things out along the way about, like the freak show of where Patrick Mahomes is right now. Like he's 12th all-time in postseason touchdown passes.
It's insane.
Does that seem to you like a little bit of, you know, just kind of ridiculous?
Absolutely it is. Because, you know, you think about, like, all the wins. You know, Tom Brady put a bunch of wins up early, obviously, won his first whatever playoff games. But they were winning 17-14, and he wasn't doing much. You know, it was different. Joe Montana had a lot of touchdowns. But Joe Montana still never threw an interception in the touchdown, right, in the Super Bowl. I think he's perfect on that. But, you know, these numbers are crazy that he's putting up. Absolutely crazy.
So, are you aware of how crazy the Travis Kelce numbers are now?
Well, it's getting way up there. Yeah.
Like, I think forgotten in all the – and it's easy to do. Forgotten in all the wave of where Patrick Mahomes is in the records is, like, you think, you know, Travis Kelce, he's been in the discussion here for 5 or 6 years as being the best tight end right now. No, we're well into the best tight end of all time. Like, in playoffs – This isn't just tight ends. This is everybody. He's eighth in receiving yards.
That's crazy.
There's only seven players in the history of the game that have more receiving yards than he does in the postseason, right? And he's if he has a 100-yard day, he's going to go by three of these guys. But the only guys in front of him, he's eighth, seven, Andre Reed, Reggie Wayne, Cliff Branch, Michael Irvin, Gronk, Julian Edelman, and Jerry Rice.
Edelman's the one that is crazy there, too. People don't think about him, but you're just in all those games, you know?
Yeah. Well, how about this one? You think of, he's like, if he's got a knock, if somebody's going to be like, oh, this is why Gronk's better. It's his touchdowns, because regular season touchdowns, Gronk's got them pretty good. Postseason touchdown catches. Travis Kelce, where do you think he ranks?
Probably behind Rice.
Okay. Rice is one with 22.
Rice. I mean, if you're telling me Reggie Wayne's up there, he probably caught a bunch, too. I don't know.
Nope.
He might be second or third then, I guess.
He's fourth.
Fourth?
He is fourth with 11. In front of him, John Stallworth with 12.
Right.
Gronk with 15. And Jerry Rice with 22. And that is it. That's it. You're in the list.
None of those guys have a chance to get one this week.
That's right.
Or the week after.
That's right. Or the week after, which he still could do. I mean, we're looking at what is... You know, already this quick in the Patrick Mahomes era of players that are just becoming, it's becoming silly. Like, the Chiefs are starting to get there. Where does, chew on this, and we'll pick this up when we come back. I'm going to open up the phone lines. You just heard all the Chiefs press conferences. You got any thoughts, comments on that? We'll take them. Chiefs Royal Sporting, KUK State, Missouri, always a topic. Missouri finding a way to lose, even when a team plays down to their level.
They covered. That's all that matters, Ren. You know that.
They did cover. God bless them. They covered.
Easily.
Yeah, we'll take it. K-State did not cover.
No, not close.
I'm not sure, you know, unless you found a way to double the spread.
Tease it crazy.
I think they might have pushed. I think they pushed. If you could tease it to double the spread, they pushed. But, yeah, we'll take your calls if you got something on that. 913-3810-810. You can hit me up on the Twitter. It's at Soren Petro, S-O-R-E-N-P-E-T-R-O. Chew on this. Where is the Chiefs franchise rank amongst the best franchises in NFL history? Where is it? Because I think there's actually a lot at stake with these last couple of games, assuming they can win and play another one. A lot at stake for where the Chiefs are regarded in the NFL. We'll talk about that next. 913-3810-810. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
I mean, it's chicken. It's fried chicken. I like fried chicken.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us. Talking some Chiefs football here in the program. Going to go to the phones, 913-3810-810. Got a line open. You can grab it right now, 913-3810-810. First of all, think about this. What's at stake real quick here for the Kansas City Chiefs as an organization? And I mentioned that the three-timers club, if you will, I think is a big one. You know, once you can get to three Super Bowls. But I was actually surprised, Todd. I thought like once you got to three, you were going to be what? Maybe top five as far as Super Bowl wins? Get to five total appearances. I thought it would be about top five. Mm-hmm. You know, five Super Bowl appearances. Do you know how many teams have been to five Super Bowls?
Probably more than you think, yeah. I mean, now the Patriots and Niners and Steelers and Cowboys probably.
Ten
of them have been to five? Wow.
Patriots 11, Steelers 8, Cowboys 8, Broncos 8.
Oh, yeah, Broncos. I forget about all those. Losses, yeah.
Yeah. 49ers 7, Giants 5, Packers 5, football team 5. Raiders 5, Dolphins 5.
Dolphins, yeah. I thought the Dolphins. It's been a while, but, boy, they were good for a real good stretch of time there early.
You get into the top 10, but you're tied for 6th because it's 6 through 10. There are five teams that have gone to 5. So I think that's significant. And if you win 3, you crack the top 10. Mm-hmm. Right now the Chiefs are tied for 10th with a number of other teams with 2. But if you get to 3, you would round out the top 10. It would mean 7 through 10. Have 3. The only teams with more, Patriots and Steelers with 6, Cowboys and 49ers with 5, mm-hmm. Giants and Packers with 4, and you'd be tied with the Broncos and football team at 3. That's pretty rarefied air for this franchise.
Yeah, it is. Giants are good at winning when they get there. They don't mess around. They get there and they win.
And I would think that this would be a big one for Clark Hunt and all the Hunt children, you know, their watch on the team, because they would then have more Super Bowl appearances than their father.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying, you know, I mean that in a positive way. I think Lamar would be thrilled.
Yeah, you've continued the legacy and you've improved it, which is what you want to do.
I mean, think about this. The fourth consecutive AFC Championship game to be played at Arrowhead Stadium. And previous to this, the trophy that bared the name of your founder had never resided in Arrowhead. And you're going to play for it for the fourth consecutive year in your building.
Mm-hmm. And what you hope is you get to the point where they hand you that and you just toss it aside like Belichick did. Few years ago.
What an ass. That's still one of the most, I mean, and I'm shocked he did that, being a guy that really understands the history of the league.
Yeah, but it's just
that's still one of his worst moves.
It's just a flex, like, I don't need this. And it wasn't a slight to Lamar Hunt. It's just like, we don't care about the AFC. We want to win the Super Bowl.
But it is a slight. It is absolutely a slight. If they bother to put a man's name on the trophy, then it means something to that league, and you should respect it. That was still.
Well,
I'm glad you brought that up.
A lot of things that Bill Belichick should do, but he doesn't respect the rules of the game and stuff either. So
he doesn't respect sleeves either.
No, he just cuts them off and whatever. And he doesn't respect the media to answer questions in press conferences. It's another thing.
Would he just throw aside the 2022 AFC Championship? Oh no, he didn't even sniff it.
Oh well, they were real close in their playoff game.
Yeah, real close. 913-3810-810. Let's talk to Jeffrey. You're in the program, Jeffrey. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, hi, Soren. I haven't heard much talk about overtime rules. I understand why, being what happened, but is the reason they do that because these pros don't want to play more minutes?
I think there is that part of the reason the rule is where it is because at the same time when they tweaked it. I mean, it used to be sudden death, first one to score wins, period. I mean, you didn't even used to have the other team getting the chance to have the ball off a field goal. A field goal would win it. And so the rule is what it is today, first and foremost, because they advanced it from the sudden death. And they give the other team a chance to score. So it's made progress. I assume you're wanting more, right? What are you wanting, a full quarter?
Right.
I mean, and have it end in a tie again and then play another full quarter?
Well, you could adjust it to less than that, but I just think I'd like to see the college type thing go on.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, I don't think they want to do that in the pros.
No. I don't think college. I think the college kids don't want to do it. I mean, the only reason they get away with it, yeah. So to your point, yes, because there's a union and they stand up for what's better for the health of the players. Yes, that's a big part. Yeah, I mean,
well, they changed
absolutely.
The college rule this year too. Even you could play 9 overtimes and it's less plays than it used to be in 4. Because
yes.
It's just one play, but then you're down to it. What are we doing? Having PKs here? You're just playing a play. I think at this point in postseason, with which I think the Chiefs' proposal made sense last time, in the postseason, you ought to at least both of you get a chance, regardless
right.
of what happens. The only way I would say you shouldn't both get a chance is if you throw a pick six or fumble the ball or turn it over on your first
Well, then
drive.
You both did have a chance.
Yeah, I guess you had your chance.
You both possessed
the ball. Yes, you both had the ball.
I mean...
I always thought there's someone's going to go out there. I still don't really know what would happen if you onside kicked. You know, and you got it. Does that count as the other team's chance if they never touch the ball?
No one's got
the sack to do that, but...
I think somebody does.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah,
Sean
I would
Payton and Bill Cowher played. Onside in Super Bowls when they didn't have to.
Yeah, but not in overtime.
No. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Okay, I would think in postseason, that's a good point. I would change the rules to postseason, and then it wouldn't have to worry about playing.
Well, they are actually different because there was a 15-minute period, not a 10-minute period. You saw the clock. It is a little bit different. But I really think at this point, if you're ending someone's year, they ought to have a chance to get the ball. And that was the Chiefs' point in 2018. And I think Andy Reid still agreed with it. He said it after the game. I think he said it Monday, too. I get it.
And Jeffrey, thanks for the call. And we did talk about it on Monday. And certainly it benefited the Chiefs this year. But it's not as big a point because most Chiefs fans, they just see it as payback for losing it the exact same way in 2018.
And the Chiefs were a little more efficient getting the ball down and scoring a touchdown. You know, I have seen people say, well, you know, listen, the Chiefs had their chance in 18. It was like an 80-yard 15-play drive or whatever it was. They converted like 4 third downs. You know, they had their chance to stop them, but I just still think you probably ought to both get a chance in an elimination game in the postseason to possess the ball. But
yeah,
they have changed it. It was horrible before. Terrible. As good as these kickers are, 25 yards, 30 yards, you get and you win the game. It's not much.
Yeah. I will say this: they didn't use the kickers and quarterbacks and offenses didn't used to be this good.
No, for sure.
You're going to overtime in 13 games. Generally, not 36 all.
Mm-hmm. Where no one had tackled anybody in an hour.
Yeah. 913-3810-810. Let's talk to Phil. You're in the program, Phil. What's going on?
Hey, Seren. Thanks for taking my call. I'll admit this is my first time calling in, and I'm sorry to be that guy to piss in everybody's Cheerios with all the excitement, but the Chiefs being in the AFC.
Oh, that's all right. You know what? Whiz away, Phil. Whiz away.
I'm going to piss all over this. I am so flipping frustrated as a K-State fan with Bruce Weber and what is going on with the K-State basketball program. I can't take it anymore. I understand he's had a little bit of success. With a couple years in the tournament, but I can't handle anymore. The guy, I think he's a good guy, and I don't know if that's what the standard is at K-State. Make sure you've got a good guy who is clean, that keeps his nose clean, doesn't get the program in trouble. But at one point in time in K-State history, there was a standard significantly beyond where it is today. I would love to, get someone in there who could get the program more consistent, even the finishing the top 4 or 5 in the league. From year to year, I understand from time to time you're going to have a rebuilding year. This team can't even flip and spell rebound, let alone hit a freaking free throw. And I think that's part of coaching. Are they working on getting rebounds? Or are they teaching this stuff? I mean, this is D1 basketball players. I mean, how in the world can this team not figure out how to rebound, especially with the size that they've got? He sounds like a sissy. He conducts himself like a lunatic and impersonating some sort of MC Hammer dance on the sideline, like he's completely out of control.
Well,
and so I'm tapped out with it. I'm ready for.
Did you like Frank Martin?
I like the Frank Martin results.
Yeah,
I like the Frank Martin results. We finished in the top four of the league damn near every year that he was there.
Yeah, but did you like Frank Martin? As the
coach? I like the results. It doesn't matter. I like the results.
Well, yeah, Phil, I will remind you, whether you like it or not, Bruce Weber shared two conference titles, and Frank Martin never shared any.
Yeah, and I will point out, and I'm not going to lobby you to keep Bruce Weber. I think it's an unhealthy marriage right now, unless he can turn this around and get this team
Ask
into the tournament
for
this year.
About it.
Phil, and thank you for the call, and I understand your frustration. But, you know, I mean, I think you just – listen, all you got to do is talk about the results. I mean, how he sounds, he's got a high-pitched voice, so he sounds a little different. And you go to that, you know, he would be a tremendous character. And the kind of the way he gyrates on the sideline, all the coaches do it. I mean, if you watch him there leaning and bobbing and doing stuff, and Roy, you know, stomping his feet and everything. I mean, they all do goofy things like that. It's just when your guy's not winning, then it becomes annoying. If he's winning, it's colorful. He's a character, right? Frank Martin is a lunatic losing his mind on the sideline, except when he's winning, then he's colorful. And we get big heads of Frank Martin, his enraged face, and we bounce it up and down to Sandstorm. Right? Like, that's what you do. If he's losing, he's a lunatic that's got to go. I mean, I get it. I think the bigger question is, what is K-State basketball really capable of? And what kind of expectation should you have that every time you hire a coach, he will get the maximum out of what your program is capable of? Because I think what K-State was capable of with Tex Winter is not the same today, right? Dana Altman is a very successful coach. Went to tournament after tournament after tournament at Creighton. Goes to the tournament almost every year at Oregon. Could not get K-State to the tournament. Well, that was a long time ago. That's 20 years ago. I mean, Dana Altman was there from 90 to 94. My point is, we've seen Dana Altman coach at two other locations with wildly better success. One was in the Missouri Valley Conference. You could say, well, it's easier to get in there. Okay, but the at-large bid's not easier. It's easier to win the league. It's easier to be at the top. Maybe it's easier, to which is, that's my point. Evaluate the program. What is the program actually capable of? And I come back to the fact that Frank Martin went to four tournaments in 5 years. And he went to an Elite Eight. Now, I don't think you're guaranteed an Elite Eight every 5 years, that there's, what, 40 spots available, you know? But it's not that far from it.
Yeah, I think what happened, honestly, and we don't need to go too deep into K-State history on this, but I mean, Phil called and he's angry, and there's some passionate fans who are not happy with what they saw last night for sure, especially on the heels of what they saw Saturday. This team is capable of doing well, and even though they didn't win the game Saturday, but when Dana Altman took the job, they were off of, you know, Lon Kruger, who was had taken them to the brink of the Final Four. And they just didn't have enough patience that they should have had with Dana Altman. You know, they made one tournament, made a couple of NITs, and they're like, this isn't good enough. Well, then you start chasing. You know what I mean? And then Altman, who was a young coach at the time, he'd only been out of, you know, junior college for just a little bit. He's the guy who brought Mitch Richmond along with him. Basically, that was why he got the job as an assistant or whatever there. And it took him a little while to get his footing at Creighton. He's a great coach, man. Dude's been to the Final Four, right? He came into the now T-Mobile Center and put it on KU in their backyard and went to the Final Four. So you got to have a little patience sometimes. And I think they learned
But that's my point, Todd. Is it patience or is it not understanding who you are, right? Because I think if like Matt Campbell, you know, at some point, if he doesn't, you know, push on into one of the bigger bowls, Iowa State's going to look at it and go, nah, I don't know that Matt Campbell's, you know, doing it up, doing everything he can.
And that'd be a mistake. I think you and I both
agree. Well, right. That's my point. And I think they kind of, you know, I always thought they kind of ejected on Dan McCarney too soon. You know, and they got way worse for quite a while before they finally got better. And that's my point here is Bruce, can they do better than Bruce Weber's done of late? Yes.
Sure.
Absolutely. They can. I think when Frank Martin, who was an assistant coach that nobody in the country would have hired other than K-State when he got the job. So let's be clear. He got the job because of talent, right? That he could keep Michael Beasley and Bill Walker. But he won, you know, went to the tournament 4 out of 5 years.
And I love Coach Martin. I love him. I mean, he is a great guy to talk to. He's a great soundbite and all that stuff.
He's about to get fired at South Carolina.
I know. He made the Final Four, and that's it. He had a little run. I mean, he hadn't done anything there. And it depends on how you look at the thing. I know people are mad that they haven't made it to the tournament for a couple of years at K-State. But they did win the league, tied, whatever you want to call it. I know this. My team, who I love, has gone to the Final Four, and they've done some great things. You know what they haven't done since, like, 1989? Won the damn league, you know. They won half a league, I think, in 06 or something like that. Bruce Weber shared two Big 12 championships with Bill Self in the league at the school 60 miles away. That's pretty good. Now, that listen, you don't want to miss a tournament as often as they have. That's
no.
a problem.
And there is a footnote around the first one. It wasn't his players.
Now, the second one, there's no footnote. It was his players.
Yes, so, you absolutely.
Know. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it's an interesting thing because of the fact that Frank Martin went to the Final Four at South Carolina because he left because he was mad at the current athletic director. He didn't like the way they were doing it, and they went in a different direction, and they had to go sell Bruce Weber because Bruce Weber was not something that was going to fire up K-State fans. And it's been a weird relationship, but it's amazing how long he's been there now.
I think this will be the last year because based upon what I'm drawing a blank on the AD's name.
Gene Taylor.
What Gene Taylor told me in an interview, I said, well, what are your expectations when he first got there? He said, my expectation is to be in the top half of the league and to go to the tournament most years.
And they've only been in that top half of the league about 4 times.
Yeah. And you know, his finish in the league, tied for first, fifth, tied for sixth, eighth, sixth, fourth, tied for first.
This last two are bad.
Ninth, and he's last right now. And I think this will be it. Unless the athletic department, I'd have to go dig out his contract.
I think
unless
it's the athletic department. Yeah, I think it's a decent way to get out now. It's not bad.
But how in the hole are you from the pandemic?
Right.
Like all these athletic departments, there may be a number of guys that coach. Do you have a guy that's as pissed as Phil that writes a $50 million check or a $10 million check? You know, someone that can write that check to pay him off. You know, I mean, if you have a guy like that, then I think they'll be moving on. If the athletic department is strapped for money, which I kind of don't think they are because they've got a number of building projects that I believe are still progressing. So it makes me think that the athletic department is being funded by the big money boys and their own revenue streams. And so I think they should be in position that if it's time to part ways with Bruce Weber, they will do it. I think they will decide unless he – and I think this is kind of a feisty team, but he does kind of – get right to the brink and then crap in his hat because there was no reason to lose to Kansas, frankly. I'm sorry. Mm-mm. And, you know, he leaned at the tape for the last 3 minutes of that game. And it was, you know, and Kansas is a kind of a weird team, and they're there to be had. And it's a weird time. Like, you know, you may fire Bruce Weber, and I don't think he's going to coach someplace else, but maybe he does and he does well. But think about this. Tom Crean, who won last night. He beat Alabama, which, by the way, kudos Gary Parrish, who has said when talking about when I brought up Missouri beating and then being competitive again with Alabama, he said, that says more about Alabama than it does Missouri. Tom Crean was 0-6 in the league at Georgia and like 5-13 before they beat Alabama last night.
Yeah, and he's just cashing huge checks down there. He's finished like nowhere near the middle of the league.
But think about this. Tom Crean was a 1 seed.
Mm-hmm.
At Indiana,
yeah.
And had the number one team in the country during the at one point during the year, just like seven years ago. I don't know what year was that. It was one of the Syracuse Elite Eight or Final Four improbable runs we were looking at. It was Michael Carter Williams' year that Syracuse knocked off Indiana as a 1 seed. I mean, Tom Crean took Marquette to the Final Four and was able to get a player like Dwayne Wade. And was like, well, that was all Dwayne Wade.
You got to get the guy.
Well, he got him.
Yeah.
I mean, he got him, and he went to Indiana. And he had dudes like Jed and Curtis and I were running down through the squad that he had. I mean, he had dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's at Georgia.
Yogi Ferrell and Cody Zeller and all of those dudes.
Victor Oladipo and, you know.
And yeah, even at Georgia, he had the number one overall pick.
Yeah, he had Anthony Edwards. And now he sucks. Like, it's a weird time in college basketball. This transfer portal is weird. Again, I am not – K-State, you do what you need to do. It's been long enough with Bruce Weber. He's a big boy. I'm pretty sure there's a nice house in Florida or Arizona or wherever he wants to go when he's done. I don't – no one needs to shed a tear for Bruce Weber. I think there is this. Respect the man. He's a good man, and he does it the right way. So when you call him – he sounds like a sissy. I take offense to that, Phil. Let me tell you that. Number one, I don't appreciate language like that at all on the show, okay? And I know you're all fired up, so I let it go, but don't do that again, okay? It's uncalled for. And it's definitely uncalled for Bruce Weber. I'm fine if you want to be pissed and you don't like how the team's playing and you want to fire the guy. He is a quality human being, and he is a quality basketball coach. He knows coaching. What he may not be is a good enough recruiter to win at a level high enough to make K-State happy. A good enough recruiter to recruit good enough talent to Manhattan, Kansas. It's why I say take a look at yourself in the mirror. Every program has to do it. Like, I think Syracuse, like my program, I'll tell you, I'm not talking down my nose at K-State at all, because I think Syracuse is going to think that they should be toe-to-toe with North Carolina and Duke, and they haven't been able to even come close to North Carolina and Duke since they went to the ACC. They're not North Carolina or Duke. And when they hire their next coach and whatever their expectations are, they should not be to be winning the ACC championship every other year, because it's not going to happen. You're not that kind of program. And the dynamics of college athletics have changed. And you know, I think you can be better than a losing record, which Boeheim is right now. And I think K-State can be better than finishing 10th, 9th, 10th, which is what they're probably going to do this year, you know, if the Baylor game was any indication. But they've got some pretty good wins. And Bruce Weber, respect the man, and if this is his final year, he finishes out his tenure, you know, let's be humane. All right, let's be appropriate. Let's be, I'll say professional, since the kids can make money now. Let's be professional about it. Lebo's absolutely right. Two league titles, right? Not higher than fourth any other time, but two league titles is no joke. An Elite Eight is no joke. His tenure at K-State is not a dismal failure by any stretch of the imagination. That's all. Let's be realistic about what it is. It's not good enough the last 3 years. That's all you need to say for them to make a change. You don't have to go above and beyond and start becoming insulting to try to get a change at K-State. I'm quite confident Gene Taylor is looking at this team and knows if it doesn't get better than what they're doing right now, he will make a change.
The Program with Soren Petro.
I pee my pants.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, wrapping up this first hour, I want to get Eric in here waiting patiently. Eric, you're in the program. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. I'd like to see overtime, who gets the ball first dictated on the initial coin toss. If you win the toss and defer to the second half, that means your opponent gets the ball to start overtime, and they can win the game. So that would mean the Chiefs, when they win the toss so many times, they would start out on offense. You get to start on offense at the beginning of the game and overtime if it comes up.
Yeah, I don't think you'd see many teams. I think it's interesting. I think there's all different ways. The Ravens proposed, like, you know, one team picking where you start with the ball. Like, hey, okay, here's where it is. You start here, and, you know, all these little different, like, nuances, which I thought weren't that terrible of an idea. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, I mean, both teams play by the same rules, right? You know what the rules are. Go out and win, right? Go out and get it done. And if that means you got to play defense, play defense.
The burnt end of the hour question, brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
What was the last year that neither number one seed made the conference championship game? Great food from Joe's Kansas City is yours if you know.